ゴジラが近づいております。警備隊の指示に従って避難してください。
Extraordinary live images here in the studio.
Approximately 7 hours ago, something attacked the city. I don't know what it is.
Welcome to Tokyo Lives, the Giant Monsters Podcast special report. Tonight, we are talking about Kong Skull Island on the release date weekend-ish thing. If you haven't listened to the special reports before, we did one on Shin Godzilla and 10 Cloverfield Lane. Basically, what we do is we do a spoiler-free section first, where we try to kind of just basically just give real small examples of what we thought of the movie. Then we do a big bump, about 30 seconds. You've heard it in the episodes before, where it'll play the music and you can pause the podcast, turn it off, come back to it after you've seen the movie, or if you don't care about spoilers, just keep listening. So essentially this is going to be a lot shorter and it's going to be unedited, so you may hear all of our little screw-ups and our little rants about other things other than Kong Skull Island. Most likely will probably happen a couple times. So I'm going to pass it along to Rob to give his just general spoiler-free impressions of Skull Island.
Okay, my hot take. And like you talked about this earlier, and I don't want to steal your thunder, but it's a theme park movie. It's bright, it's colorful, it moves really quickly. It didn't feel like a 2 hour long movie to me, but it sounds like the nuts and bolts are very loose on it.
It's like the old Rattler at Six Flags. Yeah, only people who live in Texas are going to understand that reference, but
there's problems, and some of them are like really glaring to me. Mm-hmm. The characters for the most part are very boring, but I think it makes up for it personally with the fight sequences. But that's my hot take.
Marissa?
I've got to say that I agree with Rob for the most part, especially when it comes to the characters. They were very cardboard. There was nothing special about the majority of them. They could have been left out of the movie entirely. And for the most part, I would say this movie is entertaining, to say the least. But it has plenty of problems that we will talk about later when we have spoilers.
Yes. So my thoughts on it are kind of the same, similar things to you guys, honestly. I mean, I'm a little bit more positive on it. I think I did enjoy the movie. I just think that it's not a movie that I'm going to feel a need to go back and watch a lot. I think it's going to be one of those movies that, like, when Godzilla King of the Monsters is coming out, I might watch it with Godzilla 2014 just to kind of put myself into the monsterverse type of thing. But I mean, I can't see myself like really, if I'm going to watch a King Kong movie, I'm probably going to put in Peter Jackson's Kong, or I'm going to put in, or 33 Kong. I know you guys are shaking my heads. You can't see them shaking their heads, but as a Kong movie, I think that the biggest thing that I would get out to people is this is a Toho Kong movie. And what I mean by that is saying that it's a Kong movie, but it's not. It doesn't follow the same stuff. Not quite, it makes references to the old stuff.
It makes references to Toho Kong movies.
It makes references to Toho Kong movies. It feels like like King Kong Escapes. Neither of you at this table have seen King Kong Escapes, but it's very similar kind of in pacing and how that works.
Except there's
not really
a giant
at all,
robot.
But I'm just kind of talking. Yeah. except for Mechanic Kong. I think that the movie itself is entertaining. Yes. It's fun. It is a fun theme park ride. But yeah, the characters are bland, just like you would see on a theme park ride. Like, it's literally, like, you're not going to see grade A acting coming while you're running away from the Transformers at Universal Studios.
Especially the part where animatronic Jack Sparrow showed up and started saying, "Yo-ho, where did the rum go?"
That didn't happen, guys.
It didn't happen. That's not a spoiler. So
but,
it's
uh, Yeah, I really don't have much to say other than getting into real specifics. I do think the monster design and the monsters itself are the best parts of the movie, which is weird because a lot of people have ragged on me in the past for, like, my best friend Julio always says, like, oh, you always just fast forward to the giant monster stuff and you don't care about the character stuff. And it's like, that's true. I do that. But in this movie, I feel like that's exactly what I'm going to do, and I feel like that's really going to be the only way to watch this movie in the future.
I can honestly say, having been the significant other of a giant monster aficionado for a few years now, but the better part of a decade, that there is not a lot of good character anything in most of these giant monsters movies. That's just my opinion.
There's few exceptions. There's some movies that have a good character.
There's
those
shining moments where you're just like, oh my god, a resolved character arc.
Yeah.
But other than that, you are not watching it to see what's happening to random guy. You're watching it to, you know, see King Kong punch something in the face, obviously.
Right, and I think that's what this movie does best.
Yeah.
I think we kind of all agree that that's what this movie does best. The King Kong fighting and stuff like that. There's specific things that I have problem with some of the fights, which we'll talk about after the break. I think that kind of gives our general opinions. I think that I would rate this movie like a B-, C-plus at most. I don't know where I would rate it against the other Kong movies, but I definitely would rate it less than Godzilla 2014. And I'll get into more specifics of why of that after the break.
I do have a hot take from Cameron, who unfortunately couldn't make it here tonight. He also kind of echoed our sentiment. Characters are wooden, and he likes the giant monsters. And John C. Samurai.
Yes,
that is what he said.
John C. Reilly is. If you've read any reviews of this movie, every single person is saying he's the best character,
and he is
the best character. And we'll get into why after the break, I think. But anyway, so I guess let's just move to the spoilers. Let's go.
Do we not get to give our grades of the movie?
Oh, sorry, my bad.
Kyle gave it a B- or a C+. I would like to give it a D+. It failed for me, but I knew it tried. So it's got sitting pretty at a 68, but couldn't quite get that 70.
Oh, I didn't really plan like a grade for this, but I would say that as a B movie, I think it passes with flying colors. But as a AAA like big budget movie, it's sitting around like a C+ for me. There's just too many, like, the character moments are very, very weak, and so like the meat of the sandwich, if Kong is the bread and the other skull and the mother skull crawler is the other piece of bread, the peanut butter and jelly is the characters, except replace peanut butter and jelly with like ground up wood. Except for John C. Reilly, like a prime pickle, just like really just nice dill pickle.
Delicious pickle sandwich.
And I do wonder, like, there is something to be argued about this movie in that sense of, is it supposed to be seen as a B movie? Like, I don't know. Like, I think that's a problem with its tone, is like, it doesn't know if it wants to be seen as a B movie sometimes. Like, because the beginning of the movie, like, this is spoilery kind of, but like at the beginning of the movie, it's very like, it's more serious at the beginning of the movie than once they get to Skull Island. And then it kind of,
there's a lot of wacky flip-flops moments
back and forth a lot. Like, Rob had a lot of problems with Peter Jackson's Kong flip-flopping. Like, I think this one flip-flopped way more.
He specifically had one problem with Peter Jackson's Kong flip-flopping.
I had, two problems. There are two scenes that flip-flop. This one flip-flops a lot more.
This movie is a flip-flop. It just can't make up its mind.
I feel like it, because even, like, the really goofy moments and the really serious moments are, the serious moments are done so poorly that it makes it okay for it to flip-flop. I still think
I can agree with that.
There's like the, you know what, I'll talk about that in spoilers.
Okay.
I want to just say that, my hot take, bad characters, fun fight sequences. And then that's all I got to say until we get to spoilers.
Yeah.
So one last thing before we move to spoilers, everyone who's listening to this probably already knows, but I'm going to state it again. If you are in any way, shape, or form interested in the MonsterVerse, the Legendary Godzilla stuff, anything at all, stay after the credits. I know the credits are super long and it's super annoying
it
to wait.
It takes so long.
The credits are like 10 minutes long.
There are spoilers in the credits for the after credits.
Oh, yeah. Don't pay attention to the credits. Don't pay attention to the credits. Just wait until the scene starts at the end, because it's well worth it. And we'll talk more about exactly why it's worth it after the break. But I just wanted to make sure everybody listening to this who hasn't seen it yet, make sure to stay after the credits. So, yeah. All right. Are you ready to move on to spoilers?
Yeah. Go see this movie.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say.
Go check it out.
Yeah.
It's worth $8.
The monster will destroy us all. Prehistoric monster. The monster will destroy us all.
Sure. Monster.
The monster will destroy us all. Prehistoric monster. The monster.
This monster you see. You think your bombs will stop him?
And welcome back. So now we're talking about spoilers. Once again, I warned you at the beginning, but please, 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 if you care about spoilers, turn it off, pause it, leave, whatever.
Turn
come back,
off
let's do it later.
The dang podcast.
Yeah, because we are going to deep dive into the spoilers. We're going to break down everything that we liked and hated about the movie. And we're going to start it off, actually, with one of the things that we said was the weakest. Let's start with characters, everybody.
Perfect.
Rob, go ahead and kind of... We don't need to break down of individual characters, really. Just kind of just give, like,
there's only
your thoughts
on all
the characters.
That's good, because we can't remember any of their names.
There's only two characters I really want to talk about. Well, three. Yeah. I want to talk about the Marvel connection just real fast.
Okay.
So Godzilla 2014, we had
Quicksilver,
and Scarlet Witch playing love interests. Well, they were, like, wife and husband.
Yes.
And then in this one we have Loki and the new Captain Marvel as love interests, kind of.
Are they?
Well, I mean,
it's
like
really
at the end he's
say.
Like
it's like a weird
I'm trying to save you,
which gets into the problem of the characters.
Yes.
Definitely. I think that every named actor, every actor that you're gonna know other than John C. Reilly, every actor that they like really like, oh, this guy's gonna
John
be in this
Goodman,
movie.
Sam Jackson.
Yeah, like it, like the reasons I was like, this movie's gonna be the best movie ever, are tired and like they don't like they're there getting a paycheck. Yep. They don't act. Sam Jackson only has one sequence where he gets to be Sam friggin' Jackson, and that's because they're in like helicopters and there's a lightning storm and he's like prophesizing doom.
Remember the story of Icarus.
Yeah, he's telling the story
of
Icarus.
His father gave him wax wings.
It was awesome, and that was so great. And then immediately he's back to like, you know, emotionally damaged like soldier guy.
Yeah.
Which written his character is interesting. Someone who's like, we lost the war. I don't lose wars.
Oh well, remember we didn't lose the war. We abandoned.
We
it.
Abandoned
the war because of people like her.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which blames
turning
the
people against them.
Yeah. Which is once again a character thing that would have been cool if they'd actually let it come to fruition.
Yeah,
but if he had like he and her had banter back and forth and like,
but they basically split up after the first 5 minutes and then don't show back up, but then have no dialogue at the last 15 minutes.
Yeah.
They don't even, the guy who ends up like talking to him most at the very end, instead of her being like, no, Kong is an animal and he's, don't hurt animal. Animal nice. Animal so nice.
Animal don't know better.
He's sweet animal. See, good animal. On fire, good animal.
Go on fire.
instead, we have Tom Hiddleston try to not be a plank of wood. Do you guys remember Ed, and Eddie?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you remember Plank?
Yeah, Plank.
Yes.
Of course.
If you were to put like a really great hairdo and like draw on like an like abs and pecs onto Plank, that is what Tom Hiddleston is acting as in this movie.
His character is literally like the stereotypical adventurer guy. Like you take like any movie like Romancing the Stone or even like Uncharted if you play video games.
No, Romancing the Stone is, come on.
No, but
Romancing the Stone is art.
No, he's great. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about the base level
character,
of the character.
The character
like
type.
That's literally what he is.
Yes.
And that's it. There's no backstory.
He is an action hero.
I mean, there is, but it's not important. He says one line of dialogue about it and then we move on.
Yeah.
He magically knew how to use a samurai sword and
we see that in the trailer and like I didn't expect it to be as dumb as it was.
It was very dumb.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. As bad as the named actors are, John C. Reilly is amazing. And then like the supporting like crew of people who like
the two main soldiers.
Two main soldiers. And like kind of like the Billy's dad, whoever he is, the guy
poor,
who
oh, poor Billy's dad.
Oh god, what is his name?
I don't remember.
Toby Kebbell. He played Dr. Doom in Fantastic.
In the bad Fantastic Four movie from 2 years ago.
Yeah. But the main thing to know about Toby Kebbell, though, is he also did the facial capture for Kong in this movie.
What?
Yeah. So
wow, that's really neat. Yeah. There's a
Tokyo
lot of throwbacks.
Tokyo tidbit.
Yeah.
Tokyo. Oh, we should have. That's.
Oh, we should do that.
hold on. I got to give you a high five for that. That's really great.
Anyway. Yeah. So, Rob, continue. Finish your thoughts.
Sorry. I'll wrap it up really quick. I think that, you know. Other than, and I think we can get to Kong's character when we talk about giant monsters.
We'll talk about that when we get to the monsters, because there's a specific section where I want to talk about the monsters a lot, because, I mean, that's, like we said, that's the best part of the movie, so there's a lot of stuff to talk about.
The one redeeming thing for all of us for this movie.
Yeah, so there's a lot to talk about with that.
So I feel like the supporting cast, they did a good job, and I feel like, I feel like John C. Reilly was really fun. Marissa, would you... I see like a black aura around you, like this
cloud of darkness.
It's like
I had a lot of problems with this movie, and it caused a lot of contention between me and my husband. So let me just start by saying, you know, you have a problem when you walk out of a movie and you don't remember the names of any of the characters. I don't know what they were called. They were. The war photographer and
it's
Tom Hiddleston.
It's easy. It's Loki. It's Captain Marvel. It's John Goodman.
John Goodman. Samuel L. Jackson. John C. Reilly. Black guy who played part of NWA.
Oh yeah,
New World Order. No, well, that's wrong.
There were two. Eazy-E and Dr. Dre from. That movie we're both in it. Dr. Dre played the scientist guy, the
glasses,
inside the earth guy.
Glasses guy?
Yeah, that was the guy who played Dr. Dre in the movie. So it was a cool little reunion.
He does not look like Dr. Dre at all.
Not in this movie.
Not in this movie. I need to see Straight Out of Compton.
You really do. You haven't seen it yet. Anyway.
But you don't know any of their names when you leave this movie. If you're listening to this, you either don't care or you've already seen the movie and don't remember their names and are agreeing with me because I am correct in assuming this.
I think Tom Hiddleston's character was Conrad.
Connor. I feel like someone's name was Evans, but I could just be making that up.
Yeah, I have no idea.
See, you don't remember.
I know John C. Reilly's character is
Marlon Brando?
Brando. Like M-A-R-L-O-W. The only reason why I know that is because there's the one scene where Brie Larson says, like, you should be listening to Marlo whenever she's talking to Sam Jackson.
I almost remembered the name of the poor Japanese soldier that he became best friends with.
Oh, God, what was his name?
They said his name the most in the movie.
That's the proof positive of what Marissa's talking about. Like, I'm the only person at this table that's seen the movie twice. Because I saw it for my job, and then I saw it with my wife that same night, and I don't even remember the characters. And I'm not going to pull out my phone and look it up because it's a good point of like...
You don't remember. And that says a lot about their characters, too, because they don't do anything worth remembering either. I mean, one guy had grenades in his hand and tried to sacrifice himself for his friends. That backfired. Other guys just died.
I liked that scene.
They died. They's deads now.
It was pretty funny.
I want to.
it's just character-wise, this movie failed hardcore. And I'm pretty sure that's why its average is so low for the three of us at this table, I guess I should say. I know it's sitting at like 80% on Rotten Tomatoes just because it's a rip-roaring good time, but
pretty much that's what everybody, the reviews are saying.
As a B movie, the actors are perfect.
Yes, they
It's
they're
a big budget B movie is what
they're everything
what
they need to
as.
Be.
There's about 30 more soldiers than you expect there to be based on the trailers you've seen, and I'm going to tell you why if you haven't seen the movie. They all die.
Red shirts, as we call them.
Yes. It's just a bunch of poor soldiers who were going to get sent home, but Samuel L. Jackson was like, no, I need to be a soldier still. So I'm going to put all these guys in danger, but I love them so much I have to avenge them.
Right. Also, my favorite character Avengers. In the movie. My favorite character in the movie? Budweiser. Brought to you in part by Budweiser. So, I did a quick Google search on like what Budweiser cans looked like in the 80s. They don't look like modern Budweiser glass bottles. But for some reason, Stranger Things must have had like a tenth at least of the budget of this movie.
Yeah.
And they could get Ego to make like the old
classic box.
Classic box. for some reason, when they went to Budweiser and said, hey, sponsor our movie, Budweiser was like, all right, we'll just give you two Budweiser bottles.
Yeah, like you can use us in the movie, but you have to use the modern ones. It's because, like,
well,
we're not going out of our way to make those bottles again.
It's set in the 70s. I mean, could we just print it out and put it on with like some sticky
tape? Brand recognition. They gotta make sure it's brand recognition. But anyway, Marissa, finish your thoughts on the characters.
Final thoughts for Marissa on characters. They had some. There's nothing. Tom Hiddleston just decides to be the ultimate badass at one point. They're at sprinklings throughout the movie.
Yeah.
Chick, who apparently is Miss Marvel or Captain Marvel and has won a freaking Oscar, was just the worst. Like, she had nothing. What was her thing? She had no thing. She wasn't like PETA. She wasn't like, she was just, I take pictures. And she doesn't even go out of her way to just be like, I've seen some shit, man. I mean, at one point she says, I've seen enough mass graves to recognize one.
Yeah.
And that's the only hint towards what she did as a war photographer that you get from her.
Well, Sam Jackson is like, you've been in it. Like, he,
yeah. Yeah. Cause she knows how to come aboard a ship.
Yeah.
Well, he looks at her documentation.
He looks at her dossier from the government or whatever it is. I don't know.
I guess that was one other sequence where we have Sam Jackson playing Sam Jackson.
So
it was weird. That's all I gotta say. This lowered the average.
Yeah. Okay. So I agree. I agree with pretty much everything that everybody said. I love John C. Reilly's character. His character is really the only character with an actual arc to it. You know, you see him crash land, you see him stuck on the island, and then you see him get off the island at the end. And I feel like it was a good character arc. Like I didn't get like emotional to the point of like tearing up, but I did get emotional with the scene where him coming home at the end. Like, I thought that was nice. That was a nice little end of the character. Like, I liked that. It made me wish the entire movie had just been John C. Reilly and his Japanese friend when they crash landed, like living on Skull Island.
So you wanted Castaway, but you wanted Kong away?
Kinda.
Castaway.
Like, I think that would have been a stronger film. I think that would have been kind of a more interesting idea. Is like, usually it's all about trying to get off the island. Why don't we do a movie where they can't get off the island? Like,
it's them
they
coming
are
to
stuck.
Terms with that.
Yeah,
like
that
having
been,
to live on the island.
That could have been a very interesting character, and also have the friendship of him and the Japanese soldier trying, you know, getting to know each other and not.
Ooh, you know, characters we forgot to talk about. The natives.
Oh, yes. Let's do a separate section for that, because there's a lot I have to say about the natives.
I didn't have much to say. But.
Sorry. I have a lot to say compared to the other Kong films. John C. Reilly's character strong. Easy E character is strong. Once again, can't remember any of the character names.
We're just referencing them to movies they've done before and their actors' names.
The older soldier guy I thought was great, to be perfectly honest.
Guy who tried to grenade himself.
The guy who grenaded himself and died, but I thought his character was great. I loved his just like he played the role, I think.
Affable idiot.
Yeah, but he also played the character that I think Kick-Ass may have been trying to do in Godzilla 2014, where it's like you're a soldier, so like to a certain extent you get like you have to distance yourself from things. So I feel like some of the things that this guy was doing was trying to be that like guy who's been in war for forever. Like, he probably fought in World War II, just like John C. Reilly did, and now he's fighting in Vietnam. Like,
I didn't think he was that old.
I don't know how old he was.
I just think he looked that old.
He had gray hair and wrinkles.
But yeah, he'd been in war.
I'm just talking maybe like he's a career soldier is what I'm trying to get.
He's definitely a career soldier.
So like I liked that his character, even though he was a comedic character and it worked, he was kind of that like the guy that like, you know, you're not sure what to think of him. Like, I love the thorn in the lion and the mouse scene. Because
have
it's
you ever
just
heard the tale of the lion and the mouse?
Yeah. He pulled the thorn out.
And they became friends. What? No.
No, the mouse killed the lion with the thorn.
Who told you that?
My mother.
My mom.
That explains a lot.
Yeah, like, that in itself just established a lot more character with just those two characters than anyone else in the film, with the exception of John C. Reilly. Yeah, everyone else.
Bruce Wayne.
No, I was trying to say Sam Jackson. I was like, no, that's not right. Sam Jackson's character had a lot of weird things with it that I didn't understand. Like, I knew what they were trying to go for with it. It's supposed to be this guy, like, they abandoned the war, so he feels like he's got to find another war. Like, he's got to feel like he's got to get a win, basically, because they lost.
Yeah.
You know? So I got that, I guess. But then I didn't really understand his whole motivation for trying to kill Kong, like other than just the base level, which is what it was in the movie, of revenge. Like, he killed my men, so I gotta kill Kong. Like, it's like, okay, you've got so many other people telling you that the Skullcrawlers are the main threat, and you can clearly see that the Skullcrawlers are worse than Kong just from the one sequence in the Boneyard. Like, you don't even have to see him again. Like, that Skullcrawler kills more of his men in a short span of time than Kong even did at the beginning. Like, it's, and the fact that there's more of those, like, Kong, there's one, like, yeah, there's one. Skullcrawlers, there's a bunch. Like,
yes, but see, Sam Jackson and King Kong locked eyes through fire. Yes. Okay. And that's how you make a lifetime long enemy.
So I will say that I actually did like that. The thing that I liked about it is it was a thing that came back throughout the entire film. It was nice. Like, it was the fist closing and then the eye locking between Sam Jackson and Kong. It went through the entire film because Kong, when he first showed up, you saw him close his fist as before he was about to attack
people.
All
I could think of was the Arthur meme every single time somebody was clenching a fist. I was just like, this is what they're doing here.
That's all I could think of, too. And I'll get to more about that with Kong's character later, once again. But I liked the... I'm trying to think of the word. I can't think of the word. The cyclical nature of it. Yeah, of like, you saw Kong close his hand, then he locked eyes with Sam Jackson.
Reincorporation.
There you go. And then you see Sam Jackson, whenever he's about to fight Kong at the end, he closes both of his fists, and the shot is set up the exact same way that you see it with Kong, and they lock eyes again.
Through the fire.
Through the fire, as Kong's lying on the ground. He's about to kill Sam Jackson, which I have to argue with you. That is, his death was absolutely a Sam Jackson death. Okay.
Oh yeah.
I wasn't complaining about his death. Saying like he never had like many Sam Jackson moments, and like that's the running joke with Sam Jackson dying. He always has to like be in the middle of a sentence and get eaten by a shark, smushed by Kong. You know, like that's,
shot out of a. Shot in half by Django.
Right, exactly. Like that's a very Sam Jackson moment. But once again, Sam Jackson's character is bland. I don't think I need to say anything more about Tom Hiddleston's character or Brie Larson's character because there's nothing
to say. That's her name. Yeah. Brie Larson, the actress. I don't know what her name in the movie
There's
was.
Nothing to say about them, really. They are what they are. There's no like, I know they had like a couple lines of dialogue talking about their past, but there wasn't enough.
Yeah.
His father was in the British Royal Air Force and gave him a lighter.
Yeah, that's all we learn about his characters.
It's touching.
I shed a tear.
It's an emotional moment. So, you can tell because there's
an orb. And she trashed that lighter.
Oh, yeah, that lighter's gone.
Threw it immediately into like a...
I know that had sentimental value for you, Tom Hiddleston, but your father never loved you. Just needed to prove it.
So really, to just give my final thoughts on the characters, because I want to move on to all the other things, but...
The good things.
Right. The characters are bland. They are by far the weakest part of the movie. I don't know if it's a script problem. I don't know if it's a character problem, like the director's just not knowing how to... The director not knowing how to tell them how to act and how to convey emotion. Because it's like, all these actors are big names, and that's why we all thought the movie was going to be great, was because it is an ensemble cast. However, there is a downside to ensemble cast sometimes, where because they are an ensemble cast, none of them get enough time to really grow with you as characters. And I feel like that's maybe the situation we ran into, where they were all all vying for that main character role, but no one really was the main character, and that's kind of unfortunate. And Tom Hiddleston's character was supposed to be the main character, but he was by far the least written one.
Like, was he even supposed to be the main character?
Yeah.
Because
he's the hero of the film, I guess.
It never felt that way at all.
I mean, like, they go out of their way, like, you know, he's in a CD bar, he's all, like, you know, gruff-looking, and then he cleans up for one last mission kind of thing.
One last mission. Yep. And then bank.
Then it turns out it's not about the money. It's about the girl. But then he doesn't, like, they don't actually do that. It's like, a lot of these things, I think, were written.
Yeah.
I just feel like the director didn't have just, like, three, like, teenagers to just, like, set, like, a tripod up and let them just act. You know, like, well, that's the thing. Like, he only did Kings of Summer before this. Sorry. I'm being down on this movie.
Can we? It's okay. Let's move on.
Sure. You want somebody to be more down? Let's talk about Brie Larson some more for a second.
No, let's not. Let's move on. Characters are terrible. Like, that's all we need to really say.
End of story.
There's a few standouts, and those standouts are actually really great. I just wish that they had been the main characters in the movie itself. So now moving on. I want to talk about... I want to kind of combine a couple of things here. I want to kind of talk about the way the film looked and the way the film sounded kind of at the same time. I think that's a good combination of things. Just, I feel, because in this movie, they really kind of affect one another.
Yeah.
So, Rob, what do you think of, like, how the movie looked, felt, pacing? You know, just add it all kind of into one mishmash here.
You know that I'm a super, like, I nitpick sound design a lot. Like, mm-hmm. you will always hear me talking about, like, oh, it just sounded like two wooden blocks with meat tied around it clomping together.
Listen to our King Kong Peter Jackson episode.
Listen to our Pooka episode. I think that, you know, okay, when I say the soundtrack of this movie is good, I don't mean that the soundtrack is good. I mean that they picked a bunch of, like, you know, songs that I remember from...
I swear it was like every Vietnam movie song you can think of. They couldn't was in get this all movie.
Of them. Yeah. Some of them were probably just a shade too.
Well, they
expensive.
Only needed like three of them in the first place.
They got like five or six. Chance they get, there's some guy with like a recorder just playing it.
Because the actual soundtrack is pretty weak. The actual music.
I don't remember any original score for this movie.
Was there a score? Was there music playing when Sam Jackson locked eyes with King Kong through the fire?
There was, but it was like the most stereotypical music you could ever hear.
It was also like just quiet enough to
You know when a score just fades into the background, like it becomes nothing. Why'd you write it? Unless that's what you wanted, and then you're the best, I guess.
There are standout moments of sound design, but it, you know, like it all kind of like it was clustered towards the beginning, and I feel like as the movie went on, like the sound effect guy, whoever was in charge of like directing, you know, audio, was kind of like tireder, like as the movie went on, and like the whole ending fight sequence, even though there's like tree branches being ripped apart and metal like slashing against like flesh, it never felt like nearly as impactful as it could have been.
That propeller, when it hits the skull crawler, it just goes like clunk.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, it's in her.
Yeah.
It's in her shoulder.
There's a little bit more specific, I think.
It was the shoulder.
Yeah, it was a shoulder. But anyway,
I think that the color palette was really nice to have everything be bright and colorful, especially for a Vietnam movie.
Yeah,
well, Viet Cong movie. It's bright. It's colorful. It, you know, it's not a gray, washed out movie like we've seen a million of.
Marvel.
Looking at everyone, man.
We're looking at
Marvel,
everyone.
DC. I mean,
Marvel's the worst about it, though. Every Marvel movie looks the same. Yeah. You could take a scene from Doctor Strange and put it up against Avengers.
I feel like Marvel movies exactly have slowly been getting grayer over the years.
Yeah. I agree.
They started out nice and bright, and now it's just like, oh no, we found this monochromatic palette that works for us.
If you watch the first Iron Man movie,
there's color everywhere.
Wait, hold on. Sorry, I'm talking about Kong.
Yes, we went way off.
It's like the cinematography I do have a key problem with, though, is like so there's three big fight sequences. We have the helicopters coming in and it's Kong's first appearance. And that feels like it's all shot by one director, right? Mm-hmm. Then we have the in-between sequences where things just kind of cut, like suddenly they're in a new area. And like, it kind of feels like a little bit rushed. I know they have to keep a really fast pace. It's a 2-hour-long movie. Did not feel like a 2-hour-long movie.
Which is a positive.
That's a good thing. That's a primo.
Yeah.
I think that when we get to the middle fight sequence, though, it's like there was a different director in charge, or he wanted to try something different, because suddenly we get the shaky cam.
By the middle fight sequence, he's talking about the
graveyard.
The boneyard.
The boneyard fight sequence.
The mass grave.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kong's dead parents.
when you see that fight sequence, there's a lot of like shaky cam rush towards the actor moments. Other than like the slow motion, like, you know, 300 obligatory, it's in an action movie now, so we have to have like the slow motion speed up thing.
Yeah.
But then the final fight sequence does feel like that first fight sequence again, where it's like the camera's pulled back and it's letting, like, you know, things happen. There's only one little bit where Kong tackles the Mama Skullcrawler into the water, and then like it does that thing where like suddenly the camera's supposed to be there, so the camera gets water on it.
Oh yeah.
And like it does it in no other place in the movie does it get like gunk on it, and it's just kind of like jarring. That's like, why is the camera a real thing now? And it's not like it's where the Andaro stand-in was standing, Brie Larson's character, whatever her name was. It's not like she's standing there and then like she gets sprayed with water and then like the camera has water on it. It's just like the camera's there. And there were three sequences where the lighting changed dramatically, mm-hmm. and it kind of felt like in place the first two times, where you have like this, you know, like the really grainy filter, and it's supposed to be like 70s kind of like newscast thing at the very beginning, and it slowly pans down to the like John Goodman's character, and it becomes like modern day film.
Yeah,
I loved that. And then they do it again at the very, very end.
But they do it a lot because whenever she takes a picture,
yeah,
they do the fade to the picture and then fade out.
Yeah,
let's talk about her stupid little photo montage at the one point. No, let's not. Actually.
Yeah, we'll get, I don't know if you want to talk about that because it was dumb. But anyway.
But yeah,
not as dumb as Kong skating on ice, but
it would take a lot to top that.
Yeah. There's no skating on ice sequence in this. So
thank God.
I have no problem with that. No, but you know, when it comes to the expediency with the everything is shot, I liked it. When it comes to the bright colors and the fact that like it's alive, mm-hmm. it feels like a living movie as opposed to like this movie has been washed through like, you know, so many processors that right. like you can hardly tell the difference between red and blue. I liked it. They do the CinemaSin of like announcing where the characters are like yes. three times. Like there's three jump cuts where it's like, oh, we're in Shanghai. Oh, we're in Thailand. Oh, we're
I think it's because it's front-loaded with them.
Yeah.
Like because we never cut away from Skull Island once they get to Skull Island.
I really wish I was had my fingers crossed that they would have like Skull Island show up when they go through this storm.
If it appeared one letter
yeah,
at a flashing. Time, that would have been like the best.
Oh, God, it would have been art. but yeah, that's my opinion on the sound design and cinematography.
Marissa,
take it away.
Yeah,
I am not one of those people who focuses on cinematography or sound specifically. Because, let me tell you, I don't watch movies to critique them for the most part. I watch them to be entertained. And as such, I did not notice anything very interesting with the, like, camera work or blah. But I will say I had a few problems with the, what is it called when they do the sounds?
The Foley?
Yeah, the Foley.
Yeah.
Like, what the giant spider scene.
Uh-huh.
I feel like they didn't know what a giant spider would sound like walking through a forest. So it sounded like trees being felled. And I don't think he was actually felling any trees. That was just him walking.
Yeah, like
he's a giant spider. He lives in the forest. He knows how to avoid the trees.
Right. His legs, the whole point of the whole scene is his legs were like pointy. So it should just be the sound of like pointy.
Just like a thunk,
like
I guess.
A thunk of like the thing going in. I guess they wanted to do the felling of the trees to make it seem bigger.
Well, yeah, was it its joints creaking or something?
It was
weird. I mean, it was creepy to be fair because it's a giant spider.
Yeah.
But it was weird and I didn't like it. I thought the skull crawlers made stupid sounds. They just shrieked.
Generic monster. Yeah,
the same thing with the little pterodon things. They just shrieked.
They
chirped like birds.
I did like this rendition of Kong's chest beating, like the sound it makes, more than probably any other one.
Yeah.
Just because it has like a really deep, echoey bass thing.
Yeah.
It's not like.
It did sound very bassy.
It's not drums.
Yeah.
And it's not like just a large ape hitting its chest. Like it has like a. Like it's a distinctive sound and it's like, oh, that's going to be like the new, like. That's the iconic Godzilla roar, but for Kong. That's their attempt to recreate that kind of like iconic sound.
Yeah.
But what else did I have a problem with?
Well, what did you think of the pacing?
The pacing, that's part of this?
Yeah, just in general, just like, did you think the movie went too fast, too slow, too perfect, whatever?
Too perfect?
Too perfect.
Too perfect.
Wow. We know Kyle's opinion.
Okay,
you really don't. So
my honest opinion on this movie is that it was too long, but I'm a little biased because I was in terrible pain while I was watching this film, and I was trying so hard to focus on the film and enjoy it, which I did for the most part. But when you're sitting in a movie theater in terrible pain, you kind of just want, you're just like, oh, God, hurry up. Come on, man. I know what's going to happen. So just happen. And in that sense, I think it was too long. Overall, I would say it had okay pacing. I mean, once they got to Skull Island, it seemed to drag on for a little bit in certain scenes, because they all end up separated. And you're just like, okay, you know how this goes. They're going to meet back up at some point. When's right. that gonna happen? They spend how long in the stupid little city trying to fix the boat? That was a scene. And then Sam Jackson's taking people the other direction trying to find a guy who's dead, but he doesn't know that. I don't know. Just certain parts of it just seem to drag. And I liked the firework that they did.
The
fire looked nice.
I mean, it's the fire, it was nice to see that, because, I mean, it is Vietnam. Like, napalm is a big, big deal at that point. So.
I did have some problems when it came to the water, because there was Kong walks through water, you see that in the trailers, and there's fighting in the water at the end of the movie, and it just didn't seem constant, I guess. This just might be me, because I'm just so used to seeing these very obvious, like, okay, well, how deep is this water problems?
Yeah.
And this one, it was just one of those things where you couldn't quite tell if it was on point or if there was something wrong with how tall is this monster, how deep is this water?
See, I agree with you to a certain extent on the water, and I didn't think about this earlier when we were talking about it beforehand, but one of the things that weirded me out, and I know they did it to make Kong just appear bigger in the scenes, but like, there's moments where Kong grabs water and he pulls it up to his mouth.
In a waterfall.
So yeah, it's like a waterfall. It looks like waterfalls. So
he scoops, like, when he's like first walking into like the water, like the first sequence where we have like him and Billy's dad.
Yeah.
Right before the octopus sequence, he like scoops up water, and like it lasts for like a solid minute and a half of water just like cascading, and it does it again. Out of his hand.
It does it again when he picks up Brie Larson at the end.
But
it
drowned. Like, it lasts just all way the water shorter. In his hand. She
when
drowned.
When he picks her up, like, only a little bit of water compared to that.
Compared
first
to
time.
The huge waterfall, but like for some reason the camera shot, the way it looks up at the waterfall, it looks weird, because it looks like a waterfall. I know why they did it, like,
because
I said,
it makes him
size,
look really big. Yeah,
but it doesn't look right, because the water later, whenever they are battling, doesn't move the same way that it did whenever he has it coming out of his hand.
Yeah, and it's just these little problems. Like, it's not very obviously like, oh, that's a toy Mothra that you just threw on the ground over there. It's
callback.
It's just little tiny things that just make you go, is that? That and I mean, seems a little off.
And I mean, to keep, I think keep in mind with that, those specific things, I don't think those are big things that like you're gonna really
notice.
No,
those are problems that I had.
No. I didn't mean it like that. No, I didn't mean it like that. What I meant is like, I don't think those are problems that like you're gonna really like care about.
But when
it
you
is
are
just
watching
kind of like
this
a
movie in
short, small
screaming
thing.
Pain, and you have to internalize everything, you're gonna see some stuff, and you're gonna go, "This bothers me on a deep and unknown level."
I mean, I can relate to that. I saw Ong Bak the first time right after getting my wisdom tooth removed. And the first half was unbelievable pain, and then the Vicodin kicked in. The second half of that movie is the best movie I've ever seen. I don't remember much of it, but I remember walking out with my friends being like, that movie was so good. remember when he kicks that guy's helmet in half? It was on fire.
So, in other words, perspective.
Take Vicodin
is
and
everything.
Then go see this movie. Wait,
and,
no.
the level of pain and drug-induced interest you have will really determine how you walk out of a movie.
I think because the characters don't grab you. If you're not really invested in the movie character-wise, because
you'll notice the flaws a lot of you.
Yes. Yeah.
And that was a problem with this movie, is the characters weren't interesting. Yeah. So, of course, I don't care what they have to say. I'm like basically blocking out their voices.
If it
voices.
Was 2 hours of just Kong fighting different monsters across the island, I probably, you know, like
just
you wouldn't
like,
have noticed
like
it.
Like a camera crew's following him.
Yeah.
That would have been awesome. Like, where's that movie? That's what I thought this movie was going to be.
Yeah.
That'd be so good.
Okay, so my opinion real quick. I'll be brief about it, because I know we need to move on. But I really I like the camera work in this movie for the most part. I do see your problems with it, and I agree with you, because it does seem like it's not a consistent camera work thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, you have a beautiful shot, like, you have the above shot of the helicopters, like, and the blades are moving real slow, and then you have the shot where Kong steps in front of the sunlight.
Yeah.
And those are, like, beautiful shots. Those are, like, you could put that on a poster, and it's just amazing. Did. And they did. Yeah, but you could do that, and it would look great. You just take the frame from the film, and I mean, like, there's other movies that have come out recently, like Rogue One, it's the same thing, that you can just take a frame from it, and it's like, that is such a beautifully set up shot.
Yeah.
Now, keep in mind, this is coming from, I've said it on the podcast before, but I am a guy who went to film school, so I like, it's not that I know how to set up a shot, but it's like, that's kind
of
the
stuff.
Some
of us don't have an eye for this sort of thing.
Yeah, that's the kind of things I look for when I'm watching movies half of the time. But the problem is the rest of the movie, other than those specific instances, don't match up to that. It's not like I cannot take every frame from this movie and make it into a poster.
Yeah.
It's like, I think we said this movie peaked when it came to everything it tried to do in the helicopter scenes.
Right.
When Kong is smashing helicopters and killing soldiers. That's when the movie peaked, and it just was trying to play catch up with itself for the rest of the movie.
Right.
Just,
it tried to top
can
itself.
Can we reach that again? No, we can't.
There's a really good 30-minute movie in this movie.
Mm-hmm. And like, the helicopter attack sequence
right at the beginning
is the best part of the movie for me personally.
Yeah.
It's the strongest for everything. It's the strongest for characters, honestly, even without John C. Reilly, because everyone is reacting how you would react if you giant gorilla just stood up in front of your helicopter. And
well, except for the one soldier who just goes, is that a monkey?
The Dear Billy guy?
Yeah. No, wait, was it?
Yeah, it was Dear Billy.
I thought it was Billy's dad.
It was Billy's dad.
I thought it was a perfectly reflective mirror glasses.
No, that
guy.
Was a different guy.
Okay.
Because he died in the first. He was the first person to die because the tree hit him.
Yeah, you're right.
The guy from the trailers.
That was so cool.
But, so sorry about that, everybody. I bumped the table. anyway, so I think that the helicopter attack sequence is the best for the camera work and cinematography. And I think that, like, I was describing a scene that I really liked to them earlier, and I think that it's probably the best scene in the film, and it's in the trailer all the time. They've shown it in every single trailer since they started showing Kong. It's like, it starts outside the helicopter, and you see Kong, like, turning around, looking at all the things, and then it goes inside of a helicopter. And the thing we didn't see hear in the trailer was that when you go inside the helicopter, you hear the people in that helicopter reacting to Kong. Then it leaves that helicopter, you see Kong looking around more, it goes into another helicopter, you hear them reacting. It's like, those kind of things make a good movie.
Yeah.
It's just really unfortunate that does not...
It was front-loaded.
Also, you can't have an entire movie like that. Unfortunately, that would get old really fast. You have to have that balance.
You have something really cool. You have a set piece in the beginning. You have character development in the middle, and you have a set piece at the end. And the set piece at the end would be a good place for something like that. Like
to come back
to do it again. Three like service helicopters show up, and then like you know it's like one of them get in. They're like, don't attack Khan and attack the other thing. You know, and then you have like those sequences where it's like going between but again, like the best shots of the movie are in those first helicopter sequence. You have to get through the first like 5 minutes of like, now we're here, now we're here, now we're here, now we're on a boat, now we're going here.
So yeah. And that's what, one thing to get past with cinematography. Like I said, it's great in the beginning and then it kind of just doesn't fall apart, but it just never reaches the height of what it was.
It's never like unbearably bad, but it's just like when you set such a high standard.
Set the high standard and then it's just like, you can't get back up to it. Which will lead into my point of why this movie is less than 2014. So the sound design, I love the sound design in this movie, but then I also hate the sound design in this movie. It flip-flops for me. I don't like the Skullcrawler's sounds because they do just sound very generic. Like, that's the one thing I'll give the Mutos in Godzilla 2014. Whether you like the Mutos themselves or not, the fact that they crackle like radio chatter and stuff like that was really cool. That's really interesting.
I feel like they put more thought into the monster designs and like everything they wanted out of the monsters in 2014 Godzilla, because they're like, this is our chance, we have to really wow people. Whereas with this, they were just like, I don't know.
This, they were more focused on the
dinosaurs before.
They were like, this movie, they were like, we've got like seven monsters that we've all just got to like design and throw out. And so it's like, I do feel like, like there's problems with, and we'll get to it when we get to the monsters.
Oh yeah, we're talking about monsters.
But anyway, the sound design, but the problem that I have with the sound design, you were talking about, it's actually, you brought it up, the Kong beating his chest thing.
Yeah.
The sound of it. It is a good sound. But the problem is that it doesn't, his roar doesn't have that iconicness to it.
Yeah, his roar is
And Kong's never
very...
really had an iconic roar.
But this was, to me, was nothing. I just was like, what is this supposed to
At least
sound
it's
like?
Iconic in the individual movies he's in.
True.
When you hear that roar, I had my problems with Peter Jackson, but I really like the, his roar in the Peter Jackson one was awesome. The 33 Kong had a really distinctive roar.
King Kong versus Godzilla even had a very distinctive roar.
They just don't carry over like Godzilla does.
Godzilla, we made one roar and we got it right.
Which is the problem. And I think the chest beating sound is cool and it is iconic, but honestly, I don't think it's as impactful. Like, even the chest beating, like, when he does it in the movie, I didn't feel as like pumped about it. Like, whenever Kong did it in the last movie or any of the other Kong movies other than King Kong vs. Godzilla, but whenever he does it in the original Kong and in 76 Kong, he does it after he beats something after he's like he's stood up triumphantly like this time he does it as like a threat display, which makes sense because that's what a gorilla would do. But
this gorilla isn't just a gorilla though. This gorilla is like
the fight
humanoid.
The fight shouldn't have ended before they got off the island. The fight should have really carried on just a little bit longer. And they're like they're running and like they're trying to get to the helicopters. Fight's still happening, and then throw in the iconic moment of breaking the jaw. They keep teasing it. There's several moments where like he's got the thing.
He tries so hard.
But I feel like I'm getting off track.
But we are. But the sound design, I feel like it was there, but it wasn't great. I just feel like there wasn't any like iconic sound. And the reason why I bring up
the iconic sounds are Vietnam sounds.
The Vietnam stuff is
napalm
great.
Napalm sound, the gun sounds, and then like
helicopter blades, whirring.
That stuff is great, and that's what I'm saying.
Music,
the sound design is good in that sense.
Yeah,
but the problem is, it's just the monsters and the creatures and the stuff that you're inventing new sounds for.
Like you were talking about
with the spider. Like, it's not, it doesn't match.
They didn't put as much thought into it. They put a lot of thought into making this a period piece.
Right.
They did not put a lot of thought into making this a giant monster
movie. I still really like the monster designs. I'm sorry.
The monster sounds?
Monster sounds, I feel like, are at least okay.
Yeah.
They're not bad.
But that's the problem.
But
the fact that they're just okay, especially once you get to the end credit sequence, and after the end credit sequence, you hear Godzilla's roar.
Yeah.
And that sound, like Godzilla's roar, that's the one thing they absolutely nailed in 2014, because that, like, we went to go see it in IMAX, and whenever it was the countdown, like before the IMAX movie started, it counts down and it's Godzilla stomping closer and closer, and it ends on just the roar on zero. And
it's pretty rad.
It's in shivers down your spine. Like it's because
it like vibrates the entire.
It vibrates
IMAX
the room.
Theater.
Like and even in just a normal theater with Kong after that after credit sequence, like that sound is just like impactful. And I can't help but think when we're seeing a matchup between Godzilla and King Kong in 2020, Godzilla and Roar have a Kong off. Okay, Godzilla and
Roar.
What
were these words?
Godzilla and Kong have a Roar off. Like, you're going to look at Kong and just be like, what was that? Like, well, you know, kind of how Simba, when he roared in Lion King, and you're
keep
just like,
in mind,
oh, that's.
They mention numerous times in this movie that this is a juvenile Kong. You want to watch him grow up. Because he's gonna be bigger and badder.
Yeah, so maybe they'll do some tweaking to it, but it just didn't impact me. But anyway, we really need to move on.
We need to talk about the monsters.
Pacing. Oh, one last thing about pacing, because I haven't talked about pacing yet. Just super quick. I think that the movie was paced well to get to the end of the movie. However, and this I just want to bring this up real quick. I do wonder if this movie was originally a longer movie. I feel like there's multiple places, like we were talking about, where it's choppy all of a sudden.
Kyle's got WB paranoia.
I have WB paranoia, and I'm not going to get into a discussion if you like Suicide Squad or Batman vs. Superman. But what I am saying is both those movies have a distinct problem where the theatrical cut came out, and they cut it to heck, and it wasn't very good, and then they released a superior extended version. Not even Suicide Squad wasn't even extended by much. It was extended by like 10 minutes, and yet it's significant just character development stuff that happened in the extended edition that, like, it doesn't really make the film better, but it's like, wow, that part was completely cut out, and it's really awkward when you look at the movie afterwards. And I think it's the same thing with Kong. I wonder if there is a version that had more character stuff either on the boat or whenever they were cutting and it was like weird, like they were in the bamboo forest and now suddenly they're out in a field. Yeah. And like, I wonder if there was like lines of dialogue that just would have made these characters feel more like characters. And I wonder if that's a pacing issue, like Warner Brothers wanted to hit that 2-hour mark. It may not be. That's just me being paranoid, like you said.
Can I just say one thing that has nothing to do with what Kyle just brought up?
Sure.
But you know how when they were in the bamboo forest and then like afterwards, it's the guys on the other side of the island are fixing the boat and it cuts back to the soldiers and they're all standing like waist deep high in a swamp?
Mm-hmm.
I really thought someone was going to get leeched. I was just like, a leech is going to come out and it's
I was expecting, yeah, I was happen. Expecting a giant leech or something. It's like return of the return of the pit. Leeches like would have happened.
That would have made this movie so much better.
All right, let's talk about the creatures minus Kong. I want to have Kong as a separate thing because I think he's the title character, really. So
so King Kong escapes.
Yes,
this round of judgment.
So yeah, so talk about the skull crawlers. Talk about the mother long legs. Okay. Talk about the stick monster and the buffalo.
The poor stick monster.
I will give my hot take on each. I think the buffalo are super cute. I think that the walking Kawaii. Stick was super cute. Okay, so the thing I appreciate about this movie more than I do about the Peter Jackson movie is that they designed one.
Uh-huh.
And I'm creatively, there's not as much effort put in.
Yeah.
I mean, like you can read the art book and just tell. But the thing that I liked about this is just like, we're going to show you this one. It's going to like move slowly enough that you can like see everything about it. And you can really like digest like what this thing is.
Yeah.
The water buffalo looks like this big circular thing with like horns and like moss coming off of it. And like, that's cool. The giant
mother long legs. Play on the daddy long legs.
Is why isn't it called mommy long legs then?
It's super spooky. You wouldn't see it because its legs it's evolved in a way that make it look like it's just bamboo sticks, mm-hmm. but they're spider legs.
And it's not just evolved terrifying. In that way. According to the viral marketing, it is a mixture between real. It's a flora fauna.
That's a
witchy rat. That was the same awesome. Thing with the buffalo too, is that like
Biollante confirmed 2019.
Biollante confirmed
2029.
Yes. I hope. I would die.
Go ahead, Rob. Go ahead.
Sorry.
Stick bug.
Stick bug was cute. He just showed up. And
it's funny because in the trailer, like they made it seem like it was going to be a threat.
It's going to be a threat. No, and then,
it's just like it was get just off
napping.
Me, man.
It was just napping.
I am not a stump, though. I know I look like one.
Yeah.
I can understand your problem, sir. It's totally okay.
It's very common.
Oh, what's that thing? That looks real scary. I'm gonna
walk away now.
So the skull crawlers. You guys sounded like you had some problems with them. I think that they're kind of interesting. Like, I like how weird they look, and like they don't look like a normal. I think there's more effort put into design of these than the Muto from the first movie, because the Muto from the first or from 2014 are just like gray with like red energy lines. These are like they've got like this Cubone skull on their head. They've got the weird creepy legs, and they've got the tail like. They have to throw up their food. It reminded me of the host monster, yeah, Steve Buscemi.
I could see that.
No, he did have to throw up his food, didn't he?
Yeah, he had to throw up his skulls. He was like a loogie with a tail and two front arms and then some tiny legs on the back. The only thing we needed to have is have a skull crawler like flipping through the air using its tail.
Acrobatics.
So I liked him because I like the host. So I was like, oh, that's neat. Their sound design, not included in this. I think the designs were interesting enough and they stayed on each one long enough for you to really digest like, oh, this is what this thing does. This is how this thing moves. Again, there's more thought put into Peter Jackson's weird monsters. Like he sat with someone and like was like, what's the evolutionary process of like a thing to be this thing?
I feel like, yeah, Peter Jackson's Kong came up with like the ecosystem more so than this did.
Yeah.
I mean, this one's like the director quoted Miyazaki films as a lot of influence on why he did it. I
can definitely see
Like the monsters have their domain on Skull Island. Like the buffalo lives here. Like the big mama buffalo lives here.
They don't really fight each other because they're all huge.
Except for Kong. Yeah. Kong has the domain of the entire island.
Yeah.
Like so
How did that one helicopter that pinned like a one get that far? I mean, I get that you had to show that Andara stand in.
Maybe that's how John C. Reilly knew that there were people on the island. I mean, because they knew, like, the villagers and John C. Reilly knew that there were people on the island. Maybe it's because
the villagers probably have scouts.
I mean, they might have just heard, like,
all the stuff,
explosions,
the bombs and stuff. I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying, like, maybe that's it. Crash landed right outside the thing.
John C. Reilly walks out like, is that a helicopter? I like the monster designs, and we'll talk about Kong when we talk about him.
Let's see where to begin. I liked the water buffalo. Remembering the whole flora fauna thing really is important when it comes to these monsters, because the water buffalo, I was trying to say it when Rob was talking about it, and I was like, no, I should hold it. I get my own time. The water buffalo literally gets mistaken for an island.
Yeah.
Because it like can hold its breath for a long time. It likes to take naps underwater, and it comes up and it's covered in moss and mud. Like, I guess they've just evolved to where they live symbiotically with plants.
Yeah.
Now
they're not as much flora fauna as the other two, though. The bugs, the
yes,
two bugs.
Yes, but it's very clear that the water buffaloes are just moss. Moss just lives on them.
Yeah,
they're water whales.
And,
water whales.
Wait,
or land whales?
Land whales that go into water.
Amphibian land whales.
The stick bug, very obviously, I mean, we have stick bugs. We all recognize stick bugs. This was like a
tree.
Tree bug. It has bark. It's ridiculous. But talking about the flora fauna, think back to the little pteranodons and how they lived in a tree, and it looked like a tree because they were
they are called leaf wings.
Yes.
That's what their actual official name
is. They were leaves. And just hearing that again, I was just like, oh my God, that makes sense. That makes it better, because I was like, these are
so you're seeing the theme is what you're saying.
Yes, I'm seeing the theme. I do think it's kind of strange, though. All these other creatures have the designs of being flora fauna. Except there were random deer, just normal size deer.
Yeah, there was a lot of random deer at the beginning, very beginning.
I mean, you have to show, I understand why they did that. I wish they had done something different. Like, they made them look weird. But it's like, oh, look, the military doesn't care about bombing these innocent animals.
Yeah, they wanted to get the whole innocent angle.
Yeah.
But you really
may as well show little bunny rabbits.
I'm really trying to point out the fact that they did the whole, let's reveal, you know, these are called flora fauna thing. And then we have just normal deer. Also, Kong is just not, he's not flora fauna. He's a giant ape man. And then there's the skull crawlers, which are not flora fauna either. Yeah. They're just weird.
Well, they live in the underground.
In
the underneath.
In the underneath.
Yeah.
They live in the hollow earth.
In the below.
They live in flat earth.
I can't really say much about the skull crawlers that I enjoyed about them. I thought that it was something I'd seen before, to be honest. I don't know where. I watch a lot of stupid things, but it's been done before, I guarantee you. But everything's been done before, so what's the point at all? I was not impressed by them. They had, you know, a face hugger tail that could just like wrap around and would try to choke the life out of whatever they were trying to eat.
They're like snakes with legs is the best way to describe
snakes with front legs.
Front legs, not bad legs.
Not bad legs.
Snakes with front legs.
Snakes with front legs, which is weird.
Yeah.
Super buff snakes with front legs. And I just was not impressed by them. They had bad sound and bad design. That's just my opinion.
So I'll be brief, because you guys have said a lot of really good points with it. I think that the monsters are well designed overall, but I think that they don't reach icon status. Like, I think that the skull crawlers specifically, I think that they literally, it's the same thing I have, the same problem I have with the Mutos. Even though I like the Mutos more than the Skullcrawlers, I think. I'm kind of the opposite of you on that. I think that the Skullcrawlers fit that same, like, oh, Kong's got to fight something in the first movie. Like, it's the same reason why the Mutos were there. Like, it's like, Godzilla's got to fight something. Might as well be these things. Like, there's no iconic things. Like, there's no... A perfect example is there's no big Skullcrawler toy. Like, there's only a big Kong toy. So it's like, that says something. It's the same thing with the Mutos. There was never a big Muto toy to go with any of the big Godzilla figures from 2014. It was always, like, little tiny ones. So I think that the Skullcrawlers are just not very iconic. They look Marissa, I know exactly what you're talking about. Like, they look like you've seen them before. And it's because you have. Because it's something me and Coleman actually talked about back in the day was this weird thing in Hollywood where all the monsters are looking the same. Like, they all have this very similar, like, the Cloverfield monster. Then you see the monster in the Star Trek movie. Then you see these things. Then you see the Mutos. They all have the same way of moving.
The weird
the
front
way,
arm leg things.
Yeah.
Like, that's in style right now.
Yeah, like, everything's got to move with their front to propel them. Like, it's weird. I don't really like it.
Which is weird because that's an ape thing, that's a gorilla thing, and,
yeah, and none of these creatures are gorillas,
and yet
Kong
doesn't move like
that. But yeah, so the Skullcrawlers, I think that they're fine in this movie. I think they do work in the same way that they work for the benefit of trying to throw all of Kong's villains that he's ever fought before into one monster.
Really.
Yeah, I'm going to bring it up because Coleman said it, and I think it's a really good point. They move like snakes, so it's like the snake that Kong fought in 76, but yet they're also more dinosaur-type creatures, so they kind of fit that same T-Rex thing. Kong can do the break the jaws, or try to break the jaws, and that's it. And the Mama Skullcrawler isn't iconic enough. I was really hoping
was there
for,
anything different about her compared to the other ones?
She had
stripy arms.
Yeah, she had spikes on her arms, and her mouth was a little thinner than the other Skullcrawlers, but that's it. And I think that's a problem for me. I would have liked the Mama Skullcrawler when it had come out of the water to be still a Skullcrawler, but distinct. Like, you could have seen, like, ridges down its back or something. Yeah, but you could have seen something. I liked their tongues. I liked that they were, like, geckos. And, like, I liked that they were, like, lizards. I did like that. Like, they were literally lizards. They weren't dinosaurs. They were lizards. Like, they were, like, highly evolved. Like, once again, snakes with arms. They were, like, snakes evolved to be giant Godzilla kaiju stuff,
when you think about it, they are literally just snakes with super buff arms, and when you're picturing that without
that's
ever having seen them, that's
Troctor?
That's terrifying.
Troctor!
Anyway, the other monsters are fine. I like the water buffalo. Everyone loves the water buffalo.
So cute.
He's so cool. The spider is very interesting, but I do think it's underutilized. I think it was a little, just the scene was just kind of there.
He just shows up and then gets his legs cut off and then disappears.
Yeah, I would have liked, since they were in a forest, what if had been multiple of them?
Yeah,
like,
and the other ones
they were fighting the first one, and then you see more of the trees start to move, and it's like, it's a forest, and then they have to run out of the forest as quickly as possible.
The entire forest should have been spiders, I agree.
That would have been cool. That would have been terrifying.
That would have been the remake of The Pit. It would have been great.
I've never walked out of a movie before, but I would have walked out of this. I can't deal with that many spiders.
It's too many.
Too many spiders. We haven't even spoken about the best part about the spider fight scene is, like, how they see that it appeared is the guy literally gets stepped on.
Oh yeah,
yes. And
that's a very effective. That is a very effective.
It, like,
scene.
Unhinges his jaw, like his whole body.
Yeah, it
gets
literally just, like, stabs
it, like,
all the way through him,
perfectly through him.
It was terrifying. It was great.
It was terrifying, but it was great.
I really like horror movies, so that was, like, right up my alley.
Yeah. And I think the what's the other monster? I guess the pterodactyls, generic pterodactyls,
the,
like,
leaf wings.
Like, I like. I didn't ever think of the tree thing, but that's actually a really good point.
That was really cool. So there's little things that if you happen to somehow have heard that they are flora fauna, which you have to be keeping track of that to figure out,
right.
You would see that scene.
Well, the only two that were confirmed as flora fauna were the stick bug and the spider on the website. They refer to them as flora fauna.
But the leaf wings, like, very clearly, that was, like, their camouflage.
Yeah.
Like, they evolved
they look
like
trees.
They could look like they were a tree.
You know what would have been better? Mm. There are a bunch of tiny little Mothras.
That would have been great.
And too much of a direct reference.
Little Leos.
Anyway, last day, I guess the stick bug. Stick bug was cool. I said it earlier, I think that the flip from what you thought was going to happen with the stick bug was great, because I thought it was just going to be another monster for them to fight, and it turns out it was just like, no, leave me alone.
I mean, TBH, maybe he was about to attack Billy's dad, but then he saw the Skullcrawler and was like, nope, I'm out.
Yeah, but it was still, I liked that was a trick. I guess the only monster we haven't talked about, because you can't really see it, is the squid.
It's just an octopus.
It's just, it's an octopus.
It's a giant octopus.
It's the reference to King Kong versus Godzilla, that fight. I mean, it's a good reference. It's great. I like that scene, but there's not really anything to talk about design-wise.
It was literally a giant octopus. Yeah.
Well, he's also obscured by water most of the time, which I guess he was
and
pressed flat.
And how deep was the water?
Yeah.
I mean,
the depth octopus. Of the water.
I mean, I guess, yeah. You know, they can flatten themselves pretty well. So yeah.
The depth of the water is consistently kind of weird, but I can always just in my head be like, oh, he's just flattened himself out. Yeah. It's fine.
and very clearly that's like his hunting. Like that's where the octopus like hunt because Kong hunts the octopus.
He was about to kill Billy's dad.
Yes. Because, yeah, you saw him surface and then
and Kong Billy's dad wasn't up. Looking and then Kong showed up.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Kong and then we'll talk about the villagers / Skull Island itself compared to the old movies. And then we'll kind of give our final thoughts versus 2014 and just versus the other Kong films. And then we'll be done. So cool. What do you think of Kong in this movie compared to everything? Like, what do you think? Was he a better Kong? Worse Kong?
I've gone into detail, like little bits and pieces of what I think about Kong in this one. I like that he doesn't look, he kind of looks like they took like the Toho one and are like, what would this look like if it was CGI?
What would it look like if he wasn't dumb?
Yeah. He's like, well, he's got a Yeti body.
Like, he kind of looks like the missing link. Yeah. Like that finally humans started walking upright and it's King Kong.
He doesn't look like, he looks like a Sasquatch.
Sasquatch. It's Bigfoot.
Like he looks like a big weird. Like he doesn't look just like an ape. Mm-hmm. Like what's your problem with Pooka?
Peter Jackson. It was just a gorilla.
A giant silverback.
It was just a gorilla.
This one, he feels like a different species. They throw in little tiny moments. They're trying to make him the same Kong character, where he's like, you know, like emotionally connects with the blonde girl because she touches his nose. You know, he like, you know, he's like the god of the island.
Yeah.
That's cool. But like, you know, he's a little too generic of a good guy as opposed to just like a big wild animal. So I'm kind of wondering, how do you have a King Kong versus Godzilla when it looks like they're both just like there to protect humans?
I think
Godzilla was not there to protect humans. Humans just claimed him as their savior.
Yeah, that's true. I think that what they're going to do, they're not going to villainize Godzilla, but they're going to make it more clear in the second one that he's
just there to kill other giant monsters.
He was there because
he just
Muto
happened
showed up
to save us.
And when we talk about the after credits scene, he's clearly going to be there. Him and King Ghidorah have been enemies for a real long time at this point. So I think they'll villainize Godzilla a little bit leading into Godzilla versus Kong. And we know Godzilla's going to team up with Kong at the end of that movie.
They hold hands.
Yeah,
and
they're just going to like
do the Predator
which
thing.
I have a theory.
Lightning is going to strike their fists.
I have a theory they're going to fight Mechagodzilla. I think that they're leading Monarch to become maybe a villain almost of like. You get more people like Randa that are the John Goodman's character. Oh, that's Randa.
You remember his name?
You get more characters like him that were like, we need to protect our own. Like, we need to come up with something. Like, and you have in Godzilla 2, you set up Mechagodzilla.
But at the same time, John Goodman's character, when he saw Kong, said he's magnificent.
Yeah, but I mean, just
then later was like, I'm going to show you that man is king.
I thought that was Samuel Jackson's character. Yeah.
She said John Goodman.
I said John Goodman.
You said Samuel Jackson.
I said John Goodman.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Anyway,
Samuel L. Goodman.
Finish up your thoughts on Kong.
I like the way that Kong looks because he's not, you know, just a monkey. He's a big, weird alien thing. I kind of wish he was a little bit more battle scarred just because like his parents had died, but he just has like two little cuts on his chest.
He has like a skull crawler, clawed against his
chest. Yeah.
It's probably when he escaped the one that killed his parents.
When King Kong escaped. that when King Kong lived. Man, these are all
so many. All right.
Those are my thoughts. That's my hot take.
But, do you like it better or worse than the other Kongs? Like which?
I like this better than Peter Jackson's, and comparing like anything beforehand, it's been like
it's kind of a blur.
I think that like the 33 Kong had like was really iconic, but like he has a big goofy smile, like, you know, the whole time, like he just big white teeth. This one is a unique, interesting monster, so it's fun. I like it.
So just for the listeners out there, like I said, it's unedited. We have a cat on the table right now, so this is going to be fun.
I'm really hoping she doesn't walk towards the mic and try and rub on me, because she really wants to prove all of this is
Marissa,
hers.
Go ahead and start describing what you think of Kong, and like I said, compare it to the other ones. You've seen all of the Kong movies at this point.
Unfortunately, I have.
Well, except for King Kong Lives. That's the only one you haven't seen. But
I have
the same
seen
Kong as 76.
Son of Kong, and I thought that was something I never wanted to experience again. Where to begin? Like I said, I do feel like he's got this missing link thing going on with the way he walks upright and he uses tools, apparently, and I think he has a bad attitude, to be honest. Personality-wise, I have no idea what he's going for. I'm enthralled by this cat. I'm sorry. Whew, okay. I can't focus. But, so
I get it.
I'm sorry, audience members. Okay.
King Kong in this movie, or just Kong, is he king? God Kong?
I mean, he's king.
Kong God?
Kong is king of the island. And John C. Reilly says that at yes. some point.
Okay, King Kong in this movie is a monster. And I like that. I like that he is huge.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that was my biggest problem with all the old King Kong movies is they're just like, oh, look, he's like three times the size of a normal person. What? Like, yeah. No, I did. That's not scary. That I thought that
I mean,
was,
it is. I mean, if you saw a 25-foot-tall gorilla rushing at you, I mean, okay, you'd be
but
terrified.
But at the same time, I'd be like, this gorilla is huge.
Yeah.
That's the interesting part. This gorilla is huge.
You're specifically saying gorilla. Yeah, I get what you're saying. Because, yeah, if this Kong came running out, you'd be like, oh my god, that monster's this? Coming at me. Like, you're not going to say gorilla.
Sasquatch!
Yeah. That's a big monkey.
Yeah.
That's a lot of monkey.
That's a lot of monkey.
Wait, no.
Look forward to our Power Rangers review in 2 weeks, guys. Anyway.
He's covered in fur and has a very apish face, gorilla face, if you will. I liked that he picked a tree up off the ground and shaved it clean and then used it to bat a skull crawler. That was
so good. And then he uses kung fu.
Yeah.
He uses kung fu, kung to be fu. Fair.
He definitely has like that wrestling / like karate he's fighting stuff
going
on.
Doing some choke holds.
Which is cool.
He elbow drops at one point. It was rad.
Which is going to be interesting whenever we see him fighting Godzilla, because that's going to be a completely different fighting style than what Godzilla has. Godzilla is more of a brute just pushing things around, so it's going to be fun
Godzilla
to see.
Godzilla needs to remember to use his freaking tail.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think he learned that lesson from when he killed the Muto with it. I hope he just bashes Kong around with it. It'll be great.
So overall, I would say I have seen a lot of, I guess, as Kyle said, I've seen all the major Kong movies, and I will not take It Was 1933 as an excuse. I will not take It Was 1976 as an excuse, and I will not take Peter Jackson Was in Love with 1933 Kong as an excuse. This Kong design outshines them all, in my opinion. I don't want to talk about King Kong versus Godzilla. And
she sounded like she's got some like deep repressed like
wartime flashbacks.
Yeah.
No, that the end. That's my opinion. I like this Kong design over all the ones I've seen, and I've seen all those movies far more recently than some other people.
Yeah. I think yeah, the biggest thing, like I said at the beginning of the spoiler-free section, this is definitely a Toho Kong.
Yeah.
Like I feel like that is literally what they aimed to do, was literally just it's Toho Kong, but let's make him big budget and make him ready to go to fight Godzilla. Like, you know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, this
yeah.
this Kong will stand up very well in a Godzilla versus Kong fight as far as looks go. Like, I could see it happening.
Yeah.
Like, there was never a moment when I saw Kong and I didn't go like, oh, that's going to be weird fighting Godzilla. Whereas, like, you know, before we saw what Kong looked like, obviously everybody was picturing Peter Jackson's Kong.
Yeah, which
and in my head,
hilarious.
I was like, it would be hilarious, but it was like, I don't know how that's going to work. Like, that's a little weird. But no, I really enjoyed, I really like this Kong. I really, really do. I love the way he fights. I love how it's going to stack up against Godzilla. Like I said, Godzilla pushes things. Kong fights things. Like, it's very interesting. I think that this Kong is better than Peter Jackson's in my head. This Kong is about the same level as 33 in my head. I think they're both at that same level of iconic status. Like, I think, I think if you saw this Kong because he, sorry, cat. if you saw this Kong, looking, like standing up next to 33 Kong, like they would have that same kind of look. Like you would not look at these and think that they are anything other than King Kong.
Yeah.
Like, there's no weird, like, oh, that's just a gorilla. There's no anything weird with it.
Yeah.
So I love this Kong. I think it's great. I really, really, and this is going to just be open forum at this point. I don't want to go person to person because I know we need to wrap it up because we've been going a little long, as always, apparently. Skull Island and the Villagers. I really liked the Villagers in this movie. I think what I liked about them is they were like the polar opposite of Peter Jackson's.
Yeah.
Like, Peter Jackson's were all violence and hatred and, you know, like, living on the fringe.
Was it hatred, though? I mean, or just they didn't know anybody?
They're living on the fringe. Like, you know, they're pushed to their limits. Whereas these villagers have come to peace with the world they live in. You know, like, there's still a wall.
They don't talk.
Yeah, they don't talk.
They camouflage themselves.
Yeah,
really well.
Yeah. I like that they show off a culture.
Yeah, it's definitely a culture.
As opposed to just, like, being savages, which is usually what we get like they're savages. That, you know, honestly, like, there's more of a culture in the King Kong versus Godzilla than there is in Peter Jackson's.
Oh yeah,
yeah, that's right, I went there. This one is like, you know, they've got like a whole society and like they worship King Kong and they, like, you know, they do like that cool painting style where like when you move
it's the
slightly,
pillars,
you
can, yeah
yeah yeah. Like little tiny things like that. I think it was a nice touch. You can tell like the hierarchy of power. It's like the people that are normally just wearing red. They're like, you know, kind of like the younger people in the society. And then like the leaders are wearing blue.
I could not figure that out by watching this movie.
Well, really? Blues were the leaders, 100%.
Well, but they were being followed by a bunch of people in blue too. And yeah. I was like, okay, I guess those two blue people are important. But who are these nine blue people walking behind them?
The other elders, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess I don't know. I kind of instinctually took it as that just because, like, in their throne room when he's like, oh, they say this place is sacred. Don't touch anything. They'll kill you. They walk into, like, that main area and it's just a bunch of people in blue.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, like, everyone kind of crowds around the two people in blue, like, as, like, the figureheads. It just seemed to... It looked like they were, like, in charge without ever saying, like, we're the leaders of this tribe.
Because they don't talk.
Yeah. Which I'm okay with because, again, it stresses, like, this weird alien culture.
Yeah.
And also explains why John C. Reilly, even after having, like, people around him for the last 20 years, is still kind of going nutty because they don't say anything.
But I liked that they had an understanding, too. Like, I liked that there was that, even though they didn't say anything with each other, there was, like, that nonverbal understanding between each other. I liked how they did that. They didn't have to explain how it worked. Yeah. I just liked that it was there. I mean, he's been living with them for 28 years. Like, there's got to be a way to just, in general, feel how each other are thinking.
Yeah.
I like that. Moving on to the island itself.
I didn't get to experience the island.
Yeah.
No.
I think that it's mythical. Like, it definitely feels like it's...
I like that there's a permanent storm around it, as opposed to Peter Jackson's.
Oh, absolutely.
Whatever that was.
I definitely, in general, like, I feel like usually they do a much better job of fleshing out the island and, like, the environment that you go to. This one felt a lot smaller, even though land-wise it's much bigger.
Yeah. But, because the monsters are bigger, so the island has to be bigger than it.
I like the big storm, but again, because we didn't get because we have to cut between three different parties as they traverse this, mm-hmm. you know, landscape, it feels a lot less like, oh, this is an island. This is a place. This is an alien environment that we've never been to before. Instead, it feels a lot more like kind of like we filmed this in the Philippines last weekend.
Yeah.
you know?
Like, you didn't get that same feeling of everything on this island can kill you that you get from PJKK. Because they just, you know, the spider killed some guys, Kong killed some guys, and then when they all meet together, then the skull crawlers killed some guys. But all between that time, they were walking 30 clicks that way.
Yeah.
And
I mean, they didn't have the, like, single cell organism like army that they had at in PJKK, where you could basically just keep swapping out, like,
generic
dead bodies.
Soldiers. Yeah.
You know.
I think that the island, okay, it's better than 76 Kong, 100% better than 76 Kong, and that was what I was worried about, because I knew they were, like, really stressing that we filmed this all in real locations and stuff like that, and you can definitely tell, like, most of the film is not shot on, like, sound stages. It's definitely shot in Vietnam and Hawaii and a bunch of other places, and that definitely services the film. I do feel like that helps. I think that it... it isn't as iconic of a Skull Island as Peter Jackson's or 33. I think that like it definitely ranks below both those, just on the fact that both of them feel like 33 feels like a prehistoric jungle.
Yeah.
Peter Jackson's feels like a alien world almost. Yeah, like it's completely different from anything we could ever see on Earth. It still feels like it could exist, but it just doesn't feel like it's something we've ever seen before. Whereas this one feels like stuff we've seen before, but it's put together in a way that's something we would never see in the real world.
If you were going to rank all of the Skull Islands that we have seen, not counting the you know, animated series.
Or Faroe Island.
Or Faroe Island, that doesn't count. And you wanted to rank them on, you know, how well do you think you could live there? I think I could live on this one pretty well, just because there's literally a safe space.
Yeah, I did not think that that's where you were going to go with rating them. I thought you were going to, like, tier them out of, like, which one's the coolest.
Let's get into it. Oh, yeah,
this one in 76. Buzzfeed,
top 10 Skull Islands.
This one in 76 is, you could live on both this and 76 pretty comfortably, I think.
I think it's just Hawaii for 76, right?
So 76 is literally just Hawaii. It's like the same island.
There's nothing there.
It's the same island they shot Jurassic Park on. So, like, it's like the same, okay, so we need to wrap this up. So
let's talk about those magical cave paintings.
Yes, let's talk about the after credit scene real quick.
This is a good way to close.
I want to talk about comparisons to 2014 and talk about the final battle, because that's something important. So let's do the final battle first. Sorry,
just gonna go.
Let's do the final battle first. So
we should just start doing this live.
Quick take. Final battle was rad. There was a lot of cool fight sequences. There was the one cool fight sequence. There's the sequence is just really dumb where they have to like make him on like a reference, like, oh, King Kong in chains, and then like he just falls onto a ship and suddenly he's wrapped up in chains.
But it pays off because he gets the propeller.
He gets a propeller and uses it like as a nunchuck.
Like God of War, Kratos,
wrapped around his arm and he's just
hooking
things. It's
really cool.
So stupid and so fun. And then he like does the sword draw, but it's a tree, and instead of like removing a sheath, it's like just all the branches.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then he hits it over the face. I was really hoping for an eat your vegetables moment.
They're saving it.
But he could have, but he didn't. Meanwhile, human characters are boring and not doing anything.
Yeah.
And then the fight ends and it's kind of anticlimactic.
I like I said, I didn't want to go one person by person. The real thing I wanted to bring up with the final battle that I didn't like, I liked most of the final battle, but I didn't feel like there was a big to-do about it. Like, I felt like there wasn't like when the battle ended, when he killed the Skullcrawler, like, first of all, I hate that they tried to like one up themselves with the kiss of death from 2014. Like, it's very clear that's what they were doing. Like the blowing fire down the Muto's throat, that, and that was such an epic, like, in 2014 everybody was like, oh my god, like fatality, you know, Mortal Kombat style. It's great. And this definitely was the same kind of thing with the final kill in the Skullcrawler. Here's the big difference, and I noticed this on my second viewing, so this is something that I'm pulling from the second viewing. Whenever Godzilla did it in 2014, after he killed the Skullcrawler and decapitated the Skullcrawler, music fanfare happens. Yeah. Godzilla roars triumphantly.
Yeah, literally, this is just King Kong pulls out the thing's innards and then he's like, looks my
at,
girl
and then
okay?
looks at the girl and then puts her down and walks away. It's that makes the very final battle
anticlimactic. Yeah.
And it sucks that it does, because if it had had that epic chest beating moment after he had killed that final Skullcrawler.
Again, if it had been like, oh, we run and get on the helicopters are going away, and then he barely manages to defeat it.
Rips out the thing and then he stands there, roars.
But no, it's because they had to have the whole scene with the girl getting knocked into the water and Kong has to save her. Put her in danger and stuff
like that.
I think
you
that
can tell how enthused I am about this.
That's definitely
romance.
The downside of that final battle, I would say. Last thing before we go, other than the after credits scene, I really just, do you like this better than 2014? Do you like it more? Do you think it's a better movie, worse movie? What do you think?
I think that script-wise and actor-wise, for 2014, Godzilla is better.
Yeah.
I think that this one is more consistently fun. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like everything is bubbly and popping and just moving at a much higher pace.
Pretty colors.
It's also colorful. I'm a child. When I watch a movie, I want something like entertaining in the background, because I like drinking and talking when I'm at a movie, you know? So don't go see movies with me, everyone. But like, you know, this is a fun get together with people and like laugh at the bad moments kind of movie. Whereas 2014 is a better film.
Yep.
I feel like I could have a movie night with this movie and I'd be just getting wasted out of sheer spite. Because this movie is nothing but entertaining. I gained nothing from this movie. I'm not a better person from watching this. No. You know, I watched the three freaking Hezai Mothra movies and it made me want to recycle more. You know what this movie taught me? Nothing. Yeah. Nothing about myself. But, I mean, a 2014 Godzilla had was about a family. And him trying to reach his wife and kid, and then did that ever happen? Yeah, they did.
They met up at the very end.
At the very freaking end. The 2014 Godzilla was a better written movie, but everyone complained that it was boring. And I will say, yes, 2014 Godzilla is more boring than this movie, but at the same time, Kong Skull Island, I would not say is a good movie, whereas 2014 Godzilla was a good movie.
Yeah. I think I'm the same way. I think that Skull Island, it's literally, I think I said it already, but I mean, I'm going to put in Godzilla 2014 and watch it. I do it probably twice a year since it's come out. Like, I watch that movie a lot. And we'll, I really want to talk about that one on the podcast, and I know we'll get to it someday. I think that this movie is one that I, like you said, maybe if I have a bunch of people over at the house, I'll put it on while we're all drinking and just talking. But no, I'm not going to sit there and focus on it. Like, whenever I watch Godzilla movies, or Godzilla 2014, like, specifically, I sit down and I watch that movie. I sit down.
He really does.
I'll pull that movie apart. Because, you know, I'm not going to get into the super details because I don't want to go too long. But 2014 is a movie that you can watch and you can pull new things from it. Every time you watch it, there's stuff in the background. There's stuff like that's happening that you never noticed the first time you watch it. Once again,
it's because they put a lot more time and effort into doing things in 2014. Because it was they were like, we have to knock people out with this movie. We have to make them want more. Whereas this one, they were like, well, we've already got Godzilla 2 in the works. Let's chug out a King Kong movie so he can fight King Kong at some point.
This was the Incredible Hulk of the Godzilla MonsterVerse. This was I love Incredible Hulk, but the Marvel, you know, Edward Incredible Horton. Hulk, yes. Leading up to Avengers.
Yeah.
That's what this is. It's a movie that's fun, but it doesn't really add anything. Like, I don't think, could skip this movie and still watch Godzilla versus Kong when we get to it later. And you'd be like, oh, it's Kong. Okay, cool.
In Godzilla versus Kong, they're going to have recast King Kong.
Yes. but anyway, last thoughts. I think that
PJKK instead. Comparing
the two, I think that the one thing that I have to say that Godzilla 2 definitely does better is the pacing. I know a lot of people complain about the cutaways, but I think that that's also a thing that adds to the epicness of the final fight in 2014, is we've been waiting so long to get there that everything that happens in that final fight, the breath, the kiss of death, all that stuff is way more impactful.
Yeah, it was a moment you wanted to cheer for.
Right, you clap. Like, people in my theater clapped whenever Godzilla used his breath for the first time in 2014. It's something that you build up to, whereas people Kong Skull Island, because they blow, they use the helicopter scene is the best scene in the movie, because they do that at the beginning, like, it's really hard to get back up to that same level to be excited about.
Well, I mean, it's because they didn't want to give him lightning powers. I mean, he could have saved his
I wanted it so much. I thought, like, it was going to be a big reveal.
He reaches his hand into the storm and like shows up.
Style, yeah, that would be great. Calls
it a thunderbolt.
That's why they're.
Oh no! He used the propeller and throws it up into the air. It strikes lightning and then he throws it back down. That would have been so good.
Also, that's why there's an aurora borealis. It's his magic powers. It's his magic powers.
He's standing on a mountain.
The one last thing I want to say about Kong before we go to the after credit scene, because I forgot to say it earlier, is I did like the lonely god aspect of Kong.
Yes,
I think that they did that really well, that I felt more for Kong's character in this movie than I even did in, oh my god, Rob is doing a Kamehameha over there. I felt that they really got his character across a little bit better than they did in PJKK, even though there's all the love scenes in PJKK. Like, I really felt more of the lonely god stuff from this movie than that. Anyway, so the after credit sequence, because everybody's been waiting for us to talk about it because we've been putting it off, is amazing. Godzilla, Mothra, and Rodan, King Ghidorah, confirmed for Godzilla King of the Monsters.
It, as you heard us say, they give it away in the credits. At one point it says, Godzilla, Rodan, Mothra, and King Ghidorah, copyright Toho. Like,
if you've been watching the movie up to this point, you're just like, Wait, what?
They were not into this.
I missed that because I was having an argument with my girlfriend because I was the one who wasn't super hype on the movie, but she was real into it. So
don't take your significant other to see this movie.
Apparently
it's
not.
Gonna start a fight.
You will fight.
But I
let them fight.
So the final thing, it's just a bunch of cave paintings. We have a plank of wood, Tom Hiddleston, and girl
what's
who will
face?
Be Captain Marvel
in the Monarch HQ, yeah.
And like you, little Monarch symbol.
Yeah,
in the
symbols
corner.
On the wall. Yeah. And like if you've been paying attention, you know it's Monarch. But yeah. They like make it a big reveal that they're in Monarch. But
And then you kind of like see like they put on like a little camera display and like they're showing. Like,
yeah, they say. I think I remember the dialogue. You're they basically
not,
say
he's not the only one.
Kong is not the only or like there's more monsters out there. Blah blah blah. This world never belonged to us. And then they say Kong is not the only king.
Yeah.
And then the projector starts up and they all look over at it and it plays generic footage of like people in caves, like investigating stuff. And then first image pops up, it's Godzilla.
Yeah.
Second image pops up, it's Rodan, like swooping down on some people.
Yeah.
The next image is Mothra, which is the weirdest looking one because it's just a white silhouette of Mothra with like a bunch of people bowing to it. But it's, I guess the people bowing to it, it really shows that it is going to be the, like, there are worshippers of Mothra.
Yeah.
And then we see Ghidorah, but it's just, it's like a front shot of Ghidorah. It just looks traditional Ghidorah, but it's in black, all black. And then the final shot, which is the one everybody like cheered for and got excited for in our theater when we saw it, was it cuts back to Tom Hiddleston and them, and they like kind of widen their eyes. And the last shot is King Ghidorah he's huge compared to Godzilla. Godzilla's looking up at him and he's shooting lightning and there's a bunch of like skulls and dead people like where Ghidorah is. And then it ends with the big Godzilla roar echoing throughout the entire theater.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's a very effective after credit sequence. Yeah. Like there's been a lot of Marvel is bad. We've been talking about Marvel a lot and I think that the after credit scene makes it feel more like a Marvel movie. And Marvel is good at the after credit scenes, but they've also had a lot of duds.
Yeah.
Where just you stay to the end cuz you think something cool is going to happen and then like it's just like okay, like I don't know what that any. I don't even know what that means. There's been after credits
where
you walk away.
Well, we can't all be the shawarma scene from Avengers now, can we?
That's very true. That was great. But no, this is a very effective tease for the future for the next MonsterVerse movie. I like that it's like a direct tease. Like it's not Thanos sitting in a chair. Like it's no, that's literally the next movie we're getting.
Kyle is convinced that the next movie is going to have Mothra, Rodan, and King Ghidorah in it. I'm not so sure. I think they're going to do one at a time. Well, not one at a time, but I think the next one's just going to be one, and then they're all going to be in the one after it.
I think that they're going to do everything they can with this next one. Mm. I think that's why I think, seems like they're confirming
it's
with
this. King of the Monsters. The only thing I'm worried about is, like, that means you defeat King Ghidorah in the next one. And then it's like,
then they can do Mecha King Ghidorah.
Like, so for Japanese media, it's like, oh, it's okay, whatever. Like, if he comes back, like, it's a self-contained story. This is supposed to be a long, drawn-out narrative.
It is, but at the same time, keep in mind, all we have confirmed are Godzilla King of the Monsters and Godzilla versus Kong. So if they are not convinced that they can make a full, like, 10-movie series of
but
this...
But then you got to make something that's tougher than King Ghidorah.
Okay. But I mean,
wait,
but at the same time...
Which one comes first? Godzilla, King of the Monsters?
King of the Monsters. King of the Monsters comes in 2019.
Okay, so he's going to freaking kill King Ghidorah and then go fight King Kong? What?
Like I said, I think I said it earlier, but I think it's going to be... I think Godzilla versus Kong is going to have Godzilla and Kong fight like twice, and then we're going to lead into a fight with Mechagodzilla. Mechagodzilla is a big villain as far as Godzilla movies are concerned. Yeah. That's a big name. Mechagodzilla is as big a name as King Ghidorah. So I feel like if they're going to go to that, I could understand them. I don't think the biggest thing is I don't think they're going to kill King Ghidorah in Godzilla King of the Monsters. I think what they're going to do is they're going to defeat him and he's going to fly away just like in the original Ghidorah the three-headed monsters.
And his tail's going to burrow into the ground and sprout into a new one.
Yes, but no, I think they'll save him to survive and then we're going to get if we get another series, it'll lead up to a Destroy All Monsters where it'll be King Ghidorah with another evil Godzilla monster teaming up against like a group Space of the
Godzilla?
Monsters. Ooh, yeah.
Destroyer?
Destroyer. Anyway, yes.
That with a German accent for
so we got to wrap it up. But yeah, I think that I speak for all of us in the sense of that end credit sequence got us excited.
Yeah.
It got us talking specifically. Like it got us really just like, we know more information about Godzilla 2, which is amazing because we haven't known anything up until this point really, other than the Michael Daughtry Mothra tweet. We will talk about all the casting news of Godzilla 2 next podcast when we talk about Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie and maybe a surprise movie for you. But we'll talk about that when we get there. That'll come out probably next week because we got to get everything ready to go for the final review of or discussion of this month, which is the Power Rangers movie, the brand new Power Rangers movie coming out.
Oh,
and,
boy.
For that one, I can confirm that Cameron will be here for that one, so he will join us for that one. But look forward to both of those. But for now, I guess we're signing off. This has been Kyle and
Rob
and Marissa,
and we'll talk to you guys next full length episode.
Like, follow, subscribe.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Scream. Follow us on Facebook.
Subscribe to Scrabblers.